together. May we unfold the mysteries of the gospel in the name of God, Creator, Redeemer, Sustainer. Amen. There is no such thing as a free lunch. And I'm sure that those who care for the fabric of St. Peter's would not have been taken in, as one church was, when someone offered to paint the church building for a ridiculous price. For that one church, the temptation was too great. The decorator got started the next day. 2 weeks later, the job was finished, and the outside of the church looked as good as new. Then the following night, there was torrential rain. The winds blew, it rained cats and dogs, and by the next morning, there was a milky white film on the ground all around the church. When the congregation arrived, their hearts sank. They knew they'd been conned. But they were determined to have the last word. By the following Sunday, across the front of the church, a huge banner read, "Repaint and thin no more." Repentance lies at the heart of the gospel lesson for today. John cries out, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." And then adds, "Bear fruit worthy of repentance." And so that central question, what does it mean to repent? There are two completely different and unconnected meanings to the word repent. The one with which we're all familiar, from the French, and meaning to reject our sins in sorrow and return to God. When John proclaimed repentance, he clearly uses the word in such a sense, to reject our sins and return to God. But there is another meaning from the Latin, and which is more familiar to botanists, meaning to creep. It describes plants which creep across the ground, their roots just above or just below the surface. The bindweed, which constantly threatens to take over some gardens. I wonder how many gardens here in Eaton Square. The bindweed strangles plants and therefore could be called a repenting plant. The problem with bindweed is that you can't ignore it. Half a day spent clearing the wretched stuff is never enough. Turn your back and there it is, more vigorous than ever. If it is ever to be completely wiped out, the root must be totally eradicated. But of course, the reality is different. We can only do our best with the tools and the times we have. John the Baptist stressed the need for weeding out. "Every tree that does not bear good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire." Such words seem uncompromising, even cruel, but then again, he was confronting the Pharisees and the Sadducees, who thought that they were, church-wise, a cut above the rest. Like Jesus, John was far more gentle and sensitive with the ordinary people who came seeking forgiveness and healing. So, what might we learn from bindweed in the garden of our souls? That perhaps in our attempts at repentance, we need to be both ruthless and gentle. Ruthless because sin strangles and destroys our relationship with God. But not only with God, but also with the world. Rather like bindweed strangling the garden plants. We need determinedly and consistently to face up to our failings, for otherwise the new fresh growth of our love for God will be suffocated by clinging tendrils. But in the same way that we struggle to eliminate bindweed from the garden of our soul, so too we can never totally root out sin alone. That's the key word, alone. Because we cannot do it alone. We need to be badgering God for help while at the same time being gentle with ourselves. We shall often fail on our pilgrimage, and for that very reason, Jesus is continually calling us to himself so that he can provide us, you and I, with a strength which comes from the one who is the way, the truth, and the life. Just as a beautiful garden is a lifelong commitment, so is repentance. It's a lifelong process. We need to recognize those failings which are holding us back. Walking through our garden with our head in the air, admiring the blossom of the climbing roses, perhaps means we don't have an eye for the bindweed at our feet. We've got to get down on those knees for a closer look. In other words, we need to learn to examine ourselves closely and honestly. Not being too laid back, but neither being too harsh with ourselves. We need to foster ways of repentance and a resolute spirit to change our ways. Not overnight, but gradually, over the years, as we deepen our spiritual identity. Like a gardener, encouraging seedlings and saplings, it may be necessary to get down on our knees more often. Prayer is a bit like weeding. It needs to be persistent and attentive to detail. Repentance may be turning away from sin, but more positively, it is directing our lives to God. And it is God who gives us the help we need. We can stretch out to him in prayer, sharing the details of our lives, accepting God's attentiveness and compassion, and knowing that God is always there and worth turning to. Praying is like sitting on a bench in the garden, feeling the warmth of the sun on our face, eyes half closed against its brightness. We need to relax in God's presence. And when we do just that, God will take care of the half-destroyed bindweed at our feet. We can begin today, acknowledging the bindweed of our weakness and our failure, and determinedly rooting it out. Then, once again, placing ourselves in the presence of God, allowing love's healing sunshine to restore us and to deal with what we, you and I, cannot handle. Now is the time for repentance, but in the very act of contrition, you and I receive God's love. And so, that question. How is the bindweed in the garden of your soul? Amen.